The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 24, Text Number 68, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on April 10th, 2016, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ata tvam asi na brahman parama atman vibhashyatam vishvam rudra bhaya dvashtam akutaschit bhaya gati Atatvang asino brahman paramatmam vipaschitam vishvam rudabhayad vashtam akutaschit bhayagati atatvam asino brahman paramatmam vipaschitam Vishvang rida bhayad vashtam akutaschid bhayagati Ata therefore Tvam you my lord Asi are Na our Brahman, O Supreme Brahman. Let me finish and then say, don't cut into each other. Paramatman, O Super Soul. Vipaschitam, for the learned wise men. Repeat the Hindi also. Vishvam, the whole universe. Rudrabhaya, being afraid of Rudra. Dvashtam, annihilated. Akutaschit bhaya. Undoubtedly fearless. Gati, destination. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, all actually learned persons know you as the Supreme Brahman and the Super Soul. Although the entire universe is afraid of Lord Rudra, who ultimately annihilates everything, for the learned devotees, you are the fearless destination of all. Purport. Yeah, you can read the translation. For the purpose of creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this cosmic manifestation, there are three lords, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, Maheshwara. The material body is finished at the time of annihilation. Both the universal body and the small unit, the individual living entity's body, are susceptible to annihilation at the ultimate end. However, the devotees do not fear the annihilation of the body, for they are confident that after the annihilation they will go back home, back to Godhead. Tvakta dehang punar janma naiti mam iti sorjuna. Bhagavad Gita 4:9. If one strictly follows the process of devotional service, he has no fear of death, for he is predestined to go back home, back to Godhead. The non-devotees are fearful of death because they have no guarantee of where they are going or the type of body they're going to get in their next life. The word Rudra Bhaya is significant in this verse because Rudra himself, Lord Shiva, is speaking of fear of Rudra. This indicates that there are many Rudras, 11 Rudras, and even the Rudra, Lord Shiva, who was offering this prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is different from the other Rudras, although he is as powerful as they are. The conclusion is that one Rudra is afraid of another Rudra, because each and every one of them is engaged in the destruction of this cosmic manifestation. But for the devotee, everyone is afraid, but for the devotee. That means not only everyone, for everyone but for the devotee. But for the devotee, everyone is afraid of Rudra, even Rudra himself. A devotee is never afraid of Rudra because he is always secure, being protected by the lotus feet of the Lord. As Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9:31, Kunteya pranjajanihi name bhakta pranashyati. My dear Arjuna, you may declare it publicly that my pure devotee will not be vanquished under any circumstances. So, in this material world, everyone is afraid of death. Death is the most fearful thing. But for the devotee, there is no fear of death. For him, death is a wonderful experience. Srila Prabhupada gives the example. When he was in London, he compares death to the mouth of a cat. There are two ways to experience the mouth of a cat. You can experience that mouth as a little kitten, the mother cat will pick up the little kitten by the skin of the neck. And give that little kitten a ride. Meow, meow. But when that same cat grabs the rat in its mouth, Prabhupada said, ki, ki, ki means dying. So death will come for everyone. But the experience is completely different. For the devotee, this is an enjoyable ride. To another destination. Flying in first class. To another destination. But for the non-devotee, it means the Yamadutas have come. Even though he's totally attached to his body, the Yamadutas take some subtle noose and they grab around his subtle body. And they forcibly rip him out of his body, you see. It's a very fearful experience. They're very fierce looking creatures also. They're horrible monsters. And they rip you out of your body. And drag you to Yamaloka, where you are punished for your sinful activities. So, my dear devotees, you have your choice. Do you want to go to Krishna Loka? Or would you like to go to Yama Loka? So, if you'd like to go to Krishna Loka, you must qualify yourself to go to Krishna Loka. I become completely dedicated to Krishna. Of course, for the devotee, even if he is not yet perfect, he will not go to Yamaloka. He will take birth again in this material world to continue practicing Krishna consciousness until he becomes sufficiently purified to attain the Lord's abode. So if you are sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness, you have nothing to fear of the Yamadutas. But you have to think, do I want to run the risk of taking birth again here? Even great transcendentalists were put into difficulty by having some non-Krishna conscious thought at the time of death. Maharaj Bharat, he was a great devotee of the Lord, but he became overly affectionate towards a deer. And because of that affection for the deer, he was not able to go back to Godhead upon leaving his body. He had to take birth as a deer. So even if you're an advanced devotee, if your heart goes somewhere else at the time of death, you will not go to Krishna. You will go to where your heart is going. Therefore, we must train ourselves that I only have one love. I have one love only, that is love of Krishna. I'm not interested in love of country. I'm not interested in love of dog. I'm not interested in love of family, love of friends, love of career, love of this or that. I have one love and one love only. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. This is called exclusive devotion. So someone may object, you Hare Krishnas, you're so narrow-minded. You only love Krishna. You don't love anybody else except for Krishna. But that is their ignorance. When you feed your belly, are you neglecting the outer bodily parts? When you water the root of the tree, are you neglecting the leaves and the branches? Nahi. When you water the root, you water the entire tree. When you feed the belly, you feed every part of your body. So, when you love Krishna, you're the perfect lover of everyone. You're the perfect lover of your India. You're the perfect lover of all living beings. Just by loving Krishna, you become the perfect lover of everyone. And I can tell you this, if you try to love anyone outside of loving Krishna, that is not real love. That is simply kama, lust. Because you are still tinged with the desire to be the enjoyer of that so-called loving relationship. Any tendency you have to make yourself the enjoyer of that relationship is contamination. Devotee has no desire to enjoy. He simply wants to be enjoyed by Krishna. Even if he has to suffer, that is all right. I simply want to please my Krishna. That is the meaning of surrender. Not if I'm by joining Hare Krishna movement, I'm in some difficulty, so I leave Hare Krishna movement. That is not surrender. That is business. Surrender means, even if Krishna puts me in a difficulty, because I love Krishna, I'm willing to experience difficulty to please Him. The mundane example in this world is the mother and the child. The mother goes through so many difficulties with a little child. Practically, she is tortured by the child. But she does not take it as torture. She takes it as the sweetest pleasure. My child. So that is the example of the loving affection of the pure devotee for Krishna. Whatever Krishna wants, that is all right. If He wants to give me happiness, that is all right. If He wants to give me misery, that is all right. As long as He is happy, that's all that matters. You may say, but I joined this Hare Krishna movement to be happy. Prabhupada said, chant and be happy. So I thought it was okay to desire to be happy. Actually, it is. But you have to know the art of how to enter into transcendental happiness. Because when you learn that art of transcendental happiness, misery will never touch you ever again for all of eternity. You will experience Brahma-saukham-tvanantam, transcendental happiness that goes on increasing forever. So as long as your desire is simply, I must please Krishna, by my every thought, by my every word, and by my every deed, in all times, places, and circumstances, without any thought of my own pleasure, it is then that I enter into unlimited transcendental bliss. So, my dear devotees, please do not miss the bliss. Learn this art of transcendental happiness that gives unlimited pleasure to the living entity. Doesn't matter whether he is brahmachari, brahmacharini, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. These external designations have nothing to do with the transcendental bliss of the pure devotee. His transcendental bliss is simply mastering the art of how to be in the proper mood of pure Krishna consciousness at every minute. For him, death is a piece of cake. With very nice frosting on it. Very nice frosting on the cake also. He doesn't mind dying. Just like you're doing service in one room. And then your Guru Maharaj calls you, my dear disciple, now come here into this room, you serve in this room now. Guru Maharaj is calling for me to serve in this other room now. Is there any disturbance? So how can I leave this room? The disciple is not attached to this room or that room. He is simply attached to his Guru Maharaj. You want me to serve in this room? That's alright. You want me to serve in that room? It's okay. However, I can please you, Guru Maharaj, that's all. So that means Guru Maharaj is calling you to serve in a different room, that's all. My Prabhupada is having me serve now in this particular room, you see. He wants me to serve in a different room. I can leave this room and go to another room. Yes. So death does not mean the end of the living being. It simply means he is moving from this room to that room to serve in a different place. That's all. This secret is unknown to the mass population. Therefore, they are suffering like anything. And the mission given to us by Srila Prabhupada is to deliver the whole world, bringing everyone to Krishna consciousness. So, therefore, we must make this endeavor. We must endeavor to try to make the whole world Krishna conscious. Whether they take to it or not, that is their business. But our business is to try to convince everyone throughout the entire world, in every town and village and country, to come to Krishna. Let there be one religion throughout the entire world. Bhagavad Dharma. This is our mission. So, now I can ask if there's any questions.
My question is, how can I reduce an offense during my spiritual seva?
What is the question?
How can I reduce?
This question is, how can I reduce my offense during my spiritual service?
How can I reduce my offense during my spiritual service? Let's look at the second half of your question first. During my spiritual service. So when would that be? Well, if you're actually a devotee, that means it means 24 hours a day. For the devotee, his spiritual service is going on perpetually. One time I heard someone say, well, are you a full-time devotee or a part-time devotee? And I thought, what a silly question is that? If you're a part-time devotee, you're not really a devotee. It's like saying, well, I'm a devotee to my wife part-time. Right? I'm part-time devoted to my wife. So you can't be part-time devotee. That means your spiritual service must be going on 24/7. So, now that we have cleared that point, the first offense to avoid is thinking that it's not 24/7. Ahaitakiya pratiyata, you see. A pratiyata means 24/7. It's never interrupted. I'm always on duty in Krishna's service. So that's the first step. You have to be introspective. You have to think, is this, you have to analyze your own thoughts. Use your intelligence and analyze your own thoughts. In this way, you analyze, is this thought that I'm having right now, is it pleasing to Krishna? Or is it not pleasing to Krishna? What I'm speaking right now, is it pleasing to Krishna? Or is it not pleasing to Krishna? What I'm doing right now, is it pleasing to Krishna? Or is it not pleasing to Krishna? In this way, if you're always vigilant, This like a security guard protecting the residents from thieves. Your intelligence must be the security guard to protect your consciousness from offenses. So in this way, if you're always watchful, vigilant, and introspective, you can weed out all the crud in your consciousness. Crud means dirt. Dirt means offenses. Therefore, crud means offenses. So, do not commit offenses, because they are nothing but fences that block you from Krishna. If you were trying to enter Goloka, and there was a huge fence, 50 feet high fence, would you like that? So your offenses are fences. What are the various types of offenses? Lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy. You have to clean your heart, Prabhu, by taking shelter of Nama, by begging the Vaishnavas, please let me always be in a mood of loving and serving you. By being fully surrendered unto your spiritual master, that my dear Guru Maharaj, your order is my life and soul. If you have this mood, then you will break down all the offenses, which are fences preventing you from entering into Krishna's abode. Just like Narottam Das, he is praying that he can become free from offenses. Vishayancha diya kabe shundahabe mana kabe ha mahe rabo shri vindavana. He is saying, when will my mind become free from all these offenses? Because even though I am here in Vrindavan, I'm not experiencing Vrindavan. I'm only in the shadow of Vrindavan. If I was actually in Vrindavan, I could see Radha and Krishna's pastimes. But because I am covered by so much dirt, I am not experiencing Vrindavan. Therefore, when will I become free from all these offenses? Shuddha mana, pure mind I must have, completely free from all offenses. Next question. Here we got some written questions. More coming there. Hindi. All right, well, let me do an English one first. I heard that Prabhupada said we Westerners should mix with Brajabasis and that we will never understand their mood. Why? Yeah.
क्योंकि हम उनको कभी समझ नहीं पाएंगे क्यों
Generally, we see the Brijabasis, they're not ordinary people, of course. To take birth in this holy dham means they're very exalted spiritual personalities. But we see they're committing so many offenses also. Just like yesterday, I was sitting nearby on a Brijabasi, and he pulled out a cigarette. And he was about to light the cigarette, to smoke a cigarette, you see. So Prabhupada explains that those who are in Vrindavan, they still have material desires. In their next life, they will take birth as a dog or a hog or a monkey in Vrindavan. To burn off the reactions for their cigarette smoking or whatever they're doing. You see. And then, from that animal body, they will go directly back to Krishna Loka. But being kind upon the Brijabasi, I chastised him. I said, Prabhupada does not want you to smoke cigarettes. So he put down the cigarette and did not smoke it in my presence. So we have to be respectful to them. But they commit many, many sinful activities. Just like in our Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada taught us, elicits even married people, they must remain brahmachari. Unless they want to have child. And then they can have sex life. They get their Guru Maharaj's blessings first. And then once in a month, after chanting 50 rounds of japa, then they can have sex life or producing child. Besides that, they are strict brahmachari. They are called grihastha brahmachari. So the Brijabasis, they do not follow them. Even some of the leading Brijabasis in these temples, they don't do this. So there is some lust contamination there, you see. So they have to take birth as animals in Vrindavan. The point is, our standard, Prabhupada is giving us absolute Shuddha Bhakti as our standard. They don't have the high standard. Most of them don't have this high standard that Prabhupada has given us. So therefore we don't mix. Also sometimes Sahaja philosophy is there as well. I remember in the Delhi airport, when I was a young brahmachari, I came to India the first time. And I was told by one gentleman at the airport, one Hindu gentleman at the airport, he said, we are all Krishna here. Everyone in India is Krishna. So there are bogus philosophies, you see. So we stick with our Prabhupada. We stick with our representatives of Prabhupada. In this way we do not become misguided. One boy of our ISKCON, he went to live at Radhakund, giving up the association of the ISKCON devotees. He went to live alone, become Babaji at Radhakund. Prabhupada said he is not living in Radhakund. He is living in Narakund, hell. So don't get this idea I can just wander in Braj and become a pure devotee by wandering on my own, wandering here, wandering there. You become sahaja and your devotional life will be spoiled. You stick with the order of your Guru Maharaj. He is your access to the holy land of Vrindavan. Just like when you want to get on the internet, you have to know the password to log in. So your Guru Maharaj is the password to log in to Vrindavan net. So don't try to jump over the head of your spiritual master. There are many monkeys in Vrindavan jumping over the branches. Do not you be like one of those monkeys. You stick with Guru Parampara. Now my wife, she has some points she wants to make. If we imitate the Vrindavasis who are making offense, then we also make offense. Yeah, that's, so don't mix. Okay? So, no more new questions. We have two questions. We'll wrap it up quickly here. Devotees, looks like some devotees are leaving. Maybe they're going for breakfast. I don't know. So let's finish quickly here.
So the question here is that I am following the four decorative principles and I am also chanting 16 rounds, but I am not being able to give up my other desires. So what should I do?
What desire is that?
The question is that.
What other desire is not giving him?
He says that I am chanting for.
Yeah, what are the desires?
He says, Anna Vilashita Sunya, that I am not able to do. Anna
Vilashita Sunya. I don't know what the desires are to address them.
No, he says, Anna Vilashita Sunya.
But what are the desires he doesn't want to give up specifically? To answer that question, I have to know specifically what the desires are. So I can say, well, you know, specifically I can answer. But I can tell you this, if you take pure devotional service very seriously, you will see that actually all of your desires are satisfied. And now the last question. Though the desire is there to serve with perfection, every time there are imperfections in service, then how to please the spiritual master? If you simply will endeavor to your best abilities to serve nicely in spite of all of your flaws, your spiritual master will be very pleased. This person is sincerely trying to become the pure devotee. To become a pure devotee instantly is not an easy thing. It can take many decades or many lifetimes even. So one should simply endeavor to one's best ability with full sincerity, and then Krishna will accept and Guru Maharaj will accept. So we thank you very much. Now take these words very seriously and make your lives perfect in pure love of God. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.